So I'm going to talk about Jesus, because that's what Christmas is about, right? Jesus. Who is Jesus? You guys know I like to ask, I like to speak in question form. Primarily why? There's one reason, because I kind of take the hint from Jesus. Jesus did it a lot. He asked questions. And there's a reason why we ask a question. I ask a question, and it's because you have to do something. You personally have to do something. You have to come to a conclusion. You have to draw a conclusion within yourself. So as I ask you a question, you know, you're not just here listening to some presentation or a movie and saying, wow, that was really nice. Instead, this is an interactive service. That's what we like to do. We interact with each other. If you have a question, I encourage you, feel free to raise your hand. I would love to try to answer it. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? We celebrate his coming. From the moment of he had first appeared in our world, which it's really his, on a cold night, a crowded town. I'm wondering how silent the night was, because there was so much people there that there was no room for them to stay in any place. They had to go stay in a manger. I love the song Silent Night, because again, it sings of Jesus, but I don't think that night was very silent. Plus, they're in a manger. That's where animals hung out. Animals aren't very quiet, hardly ever. Oh, and then to top it off, you have a woman, a young woman, in labor. I don't think that's a quiet ordeal. So I don't know where we get that song, but I still love it. I'm not bashing the song, but I don't think it was very silent. But since he has arrived on the scene, the question has been provoked. Who is he? Who is he? The shepherds, they must have asked it in awe when gazing upon, looking down on this swaddling baby. And again, the swaddling clothes were the clothes that the shepherds would be provided for by the high priest. Because the reason that the shepherds were provided with these swaddling clothes, which a swaddling cloth, which was a pure cloth that had never touched a being, a human, a person, an animal before. In other words, it was so pure, it was white, because it was that which was given to the shepherds by the high priest for the shepherds. If by chance a perfect, pure, and spotless lamb were to be born in their midst, they were to wrap this pure and spotless lamb in these swaddling clothes, perfect, pure clothes, and present that pure and spotless lamb to the high priest as a sacrifice for the sins of many. So, and that's what Jesus was wrapped in these swaddling clothes. And so they must have asked the question, who is this? Who is this? I mean, we were interrupted by our daily duties of watching the sheep by a swarm of angels, millions upon millions of angels. First one just came on the scene and announced, hey, there's going to be a baby. He's over there in the manger, wrapped in manger. That's where you're going to find him. And all of a sudden, they were flooded. I mean, the sight, I don't think Hollywood could portray it as even as it was, because it was absolutely awesome, amazing. They were awestruck. And so now they're looking down at this baby in a manger, in a barn, in a stable. Who is this? They had the question. They were told he is Christ the Lord. That's pretty cool. I mean, that gets your attention. Christ, the Messiah, is come. He is the Lord, and he's going to be right there. And then you have the Magi, the kings, that they're on the scene. They must have asked the question, because again, I spoke about this star that appeared. In fact, it had never happened before, ever since, or since then, or after that. A star so bright, just appearing out of nowhere and staying put. Yes, we've seen moving star. We call them comets, asteroids, all this stuff, but and planets. But a star that had just stayed put. Do you know how impossible that is? That's actually impossible. Because have you guys realized we're not on flat Earth? We're on a revolving ball that's always moving. That means this star had to have just stayed put and revolve with, like a moon. We only have one moon. But this thing stayed put right there. That's awesome. And so they must have been asking this question. They said, go and find this king that is born. A king. So they look and they get to this manger. They're like, what? It's a king? They must have been asking the question, who is this Jesus who is known as the king, but born in a humble stable? That's crazy. And then the disciples, they must have constantly been asking this question, especially when they witnessed so many things that Jesus had done. Leprosy instantly healed, right in their midst. Arms that were given back to life, to people that were crippled for life, all of a sudden getting up, walking, and dancing. And then probably one of the most intriguing points that they must have asked the question, who is this Jesus? In fact, they did actually, who is this guy? Is when they were on a storm in a boat, and the lake had just swelled up with a storm that they thought they were left for dead. In fact, they all believed they were just going to die right then and there. And Jesus was asleep. Like, hey, Jesus, I think something is happening here. Maybe you should ought to wake up. Maybe you could help us out a little bit. I know you're a carpenter by trade, but maybe you can whittle a couple extra oars or something. I don't know. Figure this out. And he gets up. He's like, what are you guys doing? Why are you guys freaking out? And he just speaks calm, and the storm stops at the sound of his voice. That must have been like, what is going on? Who is this guy? You know that they were asking, who is Jesus? The Jewish leaders of the day, the religious leaders, they asked it in outrage when Jesus claimed to have authority that only belonged to God and God alone. Who are you? They asked with a malicious intent. How dare you? Who do you think you are? So everybody's on the scene asking, who is Jesus? I think even to this day, I believe it, to this day, we celebrate this thing called Christmas. Once a year, a day that we celebrate a baby being born. And it's not just an American holiday. We do realize it, right? Thanksgiving is an American holiday. You do realize that, right? So the entire world celebrates a baby being born. Not only does it celebrate, but even our calendars are they start and stop at this very moment. We're not in 1900s anymore. The year 2021 is based on 2021 years from Jesus. That's crazy. You think about it. Who is he then? Who is he? And asking yourself the question, who is Jesus, forces you to draw a conclusion. Forces you to draw a conclusion, right? All of us, every single one of us, young and old, draw the conclusion yourself. Is Jesus your Lord? Is Jesus your Lord? Ruling all that you are and all that you are to be. Is Jesus your King? Deserving all of your allegiance and all of your worship. Is Jesus your Emmanuel? With you always, all the way to the end. Is Jesus your Christ? Your Savior, your Messiah, your Redeemer, your only hope, in whom you put all your trust. You know, as we're going to celebrate communion, we're going to partake in communion. I did want to, and there's a story, a Christmas story in this involving the candy cane, which I think is a cool story. If you haven't heard it before, probably most of you already have. But I love to share it because, especially with the kids in the room. But I wanted to ask a question that I want us just to think even farther. I want us to go from if you track with me in this like line of thought in my brain, try to, I dare you. But, you know, sometimes I envision truths of God is like a swimming pool full of water, that water's moving, waters can be it's in flux, you know, but not that God is in flux, God is moving. God is always moving, but he's always the same and he's stable. But there's a thing about a swimming pool that I've noticed, that if you haven't noticed, they call these a shallow end and a deep end, right? In the shallow end, you can play around, just get your feet wet, and maybe get up to your knees, and it's nice and it's cool and it's comfortable. But then you get into a deep end, where there's things that you have to do. You can't just play around. Now you have to stay afloat. You have to, and you might be able to experience the water a little deeper, correct? So there's certain things about God that I believe are shallow and deep. Does that make sense? And not that God is, but I believe not that God is shallow or deep, either one. I think it's kind of all on us, because God is all of it. If I can say that, I know I can, and it's not, follow with me in this, is I've heard these things that are said about Christmas, about Jesus becoming a baby, Jesus becoming a man, and I heard this kind of explanation. I'm sorry, guys, I don't know what's going on here. Let's try that. You guys still hear me? It might work. Now I'm on a leash. It is funny, huh? We do have a new mic ordered, yes. Anyway, that's better for some reason. My pocket was throwing it off. Back to what I, and we will get to eat a candy cane. But talking about the shallow end of why Jesus became a person, a human being. And one of the shallow reasons that I see is, and it's not a wrong or incorrect, but it's something that is kind of a shallow understanding, is that he became one of us so that he can understand us. Now, what's that? So that he can understand us. I'm getting there. I'm trying to, if I will, take you to a deeper understanding of why Jesus became one of us. Now, I would say that if that's your reason why Jesus became one of us, so that God could understand us, I'm going to say you're playing in the shallow end a little bit. And you might need to jump in a little bit deeper, because if you stay there, you make everything about God, about how much he gives to me and he understands me and how much he is to me. And see, there's something there that we need to go deeper in, and we need to. I believe we must, because we can't stay there. Because I believe that there's a place where you can come to a place of saying, I need Jesus because I am in need. Absolutely. Hello? I think that's a shallow spot to be, and it's okay to be there, but don't stay there. Because when you're in a place of need, of needing Jesus, like when I came to know Jesus, I needed to experience what a father's love was like. So I needed that, and God knew that he was that which I needed. So when I don't stay there, because here's the real reason in understanding that Jesus actually became one of us. You understand this? Is because we cannot save ourselves. We had no way of coming to a place. He needed to become one of us so that he could save all of us. Not so that he can understand it. Because if you think about the shallowness, and forgive me if that offends you, of thinking that, I have to place God something different than he actually is. And what I mean by that is because, you know, what we know of God, we know that God created everything. He designed it. He spoke it. He formed it. He created it. And if there is ever a designer, a creator of anything that exists, an engineer, if you will, That engineer, that creator, that designer understands the complexities of everything that they create and designed. Do you understand what I'm saying? When we say that God needed to understand me, so he needed to become like me to understand me, you have belittled God to being not just like you, but even less than you. Do you understand what I said there? And that's a dangerous place to be. That's why I say don't stay there at all. Go to the deep place and understand that God actually is God. Now, it does help, listen, track with me for a second, okay? It does help to know that he understands you. Hello? That's actually really nice. That's actually relieving, that's freeing to know that God, I can communicate, I can relate to God because he can relate to me. So why he had to become one of us is so that we can actually commune with him. That's the reason why. So that we can have a relationship with him. He knows you. Hello? Hello? He knows you. He knows how you tick and even how you talk. Thank you. Thank you, Mark. That was for the millennials. Anyway, I need to move on. See, it was for the millennials. You needed to. That's all right. Grandma's back there. I don't know what he's talking about. I'm sorry. I'm just picking on you, Mom. It is a good thing that you don't know what it is. Yeah. On your table, there's some candy canes. This is pretty cool. I searched high and low all over the city of Sacramento and Roseville and Lincoln to find candy canes. And this was the best I could come up with at the dollar store in Roseville. So that's awesome in Roseville. So they're not like super, you know what? I got to tell you, here, I'm going to grab one. Thank you. But I don't think I did as good as I thought I did. Because I thought, oh, these are the most perfect candy canes ever. For one, they're hot chocolate flavored. And I did taste them, and they do have some hot chocolate like flavoring in it. So, but I thought, oh, it's got a dark red stripe in it. And then when I looked at it without my glasses, oh, it's got like a bunch of thin little stripes. And then I opened it up and looked at it with my glasses, like, no, those aren't thin little stripes. But it really works. It really works because here's what I'm gonna use the illustration that a candy maker in Indiana wanted to make a candy that could be a reminder of Jesus at Christmas time. So he started off with, of course, the stick of pure white hard candy. The white color symbolized the virgin birth and the sinless life of Jesus. And the hard candy is a symbol of the solid rock in which the foundation of the church is built on and the promises of God in which we stand on. The candy maker then made this candy in the form of a J, correct? A J which represents the name of Jesus. It's cute. But also a shepherd's staff, which I think is even more cool. As Jesus, the good shepherd, that he uses constantly to pull hearts towards him. And then we have, which is really neat, I want to share something that happened this morning after this. And then it's stained with a large, which actually, oh wait, the three little stripes, which is a standard typical candy cane. Which this one we can pretend those are three little stripes, which symbolize the stripes that Jesus took upon his body for our healing. By his stripes we are healed. So it's for our own personal healing, the healing of the world, the healing of the nations. And then the large red stripe is the blood in which Jesus shed for our forgiveness and our cleansing. And then you almost always, I don't know about you guys, but every single candy cane I ever try to open, it breaks. In the process of opening, rarely do I run across one that's not broke. I have one now, but I'm pretty sure I'll break it if I try to open it. Which is symbolic of the body that was broken for us. As we were, preparing communion this morning, I was back there over there with on the counter, just pouring the little juices and in the juice in the cup. I want to share a little quick story, which I think is pretty cool, because thinking of the shepherd's hook that's always pulling hearts towards him. You know, we as a salt mine here, as a ministry, as an organization, if you will, a church, a body of believers, we believe in just serving and loving those in our community right where they're at, and at every level, rich or poor, homeless or in a grand home, it doesn't matter. That's our goal. Our mission is to love those right where they're at. So as I'm back there preparing, there's a young man in town, is a homeless young man that wandered in, and I saw him actually walking as we were driving, and I thought, oh, I'm not even going to tell you his name. I'll tell Suzanne later, because it's just a neat thing. Because he's a regular, here. And he wanders in, and he first goes over to Ralph, who was sitting over there, and Ralph pointed him to me, which was back there. And so he said, hey, I want to do something that I haven't never done before. I said, what's that? And as we were chatting, because I know him well enough to know, it was like, hey, just whatever it is, I just want you to be honest, and that's what we're here for. I just want you to be yourself. You could talk to me. As well, I need to talk to the priest. It's like, well, I'm a guy that is close to, like, you do realize who I am, right? He's like, well, yeah, you're the priest. I'm like, no, I'm the pastor, but I'm not God. And he's like, well, I know that. I'm like, okay. And he said, and you aren't either, right? And he goes, oh, I know that too. So we had a good conversation. He said, I just need to get right with God. I woke up this morning and there was something that was drawing me to this place, because it's a place of peace. And I needed to go to the altar and just give my heart to God fully. He said, I grew up going to a church every now and then, but I've never given my heart to God. And so as I'm doing this stuff, we're just talking, and I'm explaining to him everything that we're doing and who all that we are, and what's going on inside of him. And so we stopped and we prayed. And he asked Jesus to become Lord of his life right then and there at that very moment, just this morning. And it was the coolest thing, because he was breaking down crying. And so many of the stories that he was telling me, and he told me a bunch of them, of the life that he lives out by the creek. And the friend of ours, who was a friend of his, about 6 months ago, who hung himself from the bridge down there. And he was telling me about another friend of his that was ready to put a lasso around her neck. And we know her very well. She comes into the store and stuff. And he said, well, can we pray for her too? And I shared with him about my story, about walking outside of my house one day, seeing my dad with a lasso around his neck, hanging from a tree, and how I had to hold him there until the police got there when I was a teenager. And how many of our stories are so close. You know, we're all a mess, and we just all need Jesus. So I was able to pray with him and just love on him, and ask the Holy Spirit to just really do something amazing in that young man's life. Oh, and by the way, he said, and today was his birthday. I couldn't get him to stay for church because he doesn't like crowds. But that's okay, because I know that God is fully capable and willing to get right into that young man's heart. Not only get there, but stay there and not leave him alone. And continue to work on him to transform him and change him. And that's what we prayed for, because that's what he said he wanted to do. He said, I want to make a New Year's resolution to be different this year. It's only in Jesus that we could do that, brother. And so before we actually partake in communion, I'd just like to ask you a question. You can suck on your candy cane if you like. Fully, there's many, so you could have one or two. I think I got more than enough. I bought the whole entire shelf. I grabbed the whole box. I felt bad for the people behind me that couldn't get a chocolate, hot chocolate flavored candy cane, but I looked everywhere. Literally, they're out everywhere. Anyway, you could have one. But before we actually partake in communion, I'd like to ask you a question. Have you made room for Jesus in your heart? The reason that's such an appropriate question at Christmas time is because we have this humble beginning of Jesus, God, the humble beginning of God becoming a man here on earth. It speaks to us and lets us know that there are no excuses whatsoever left for not letting him into our heart. Because you might be able to come up with some excuses like, dude, kind of like this guy was, he's like, he tried to like beat around the bush and say all these things and come up with excuses why he didn't really need Jesus. He just needed a new start. There's some good ones out there. You know, my life is full of an empty, I got an empty void there. There's nothing that matters anymore. That's the best time to ask Jesus into your heart. If nothing matters anymore, and I feel empty inside, that's the best time, because Jesus came to this dark and empty manger and filled it with himself. You may say, well, it's too dirty. You don't know my past. It's filthy. I've done some horrible stuff. Jesus came to a dirty, filthy manger. I mean, it was full of, if you will, animal feces and food and just junk that was like, it was like this was a filthy place. The stench was overwhelming. And Jesus said yes. God said yes to that place. If we just simply open up our heart, it doesn't matter what our past is. It doesn't matter how dark, how dirty, how gringy, how ugly, how empty. He will say yes when we just make room. Amen? So the question is, do you have room? So I'm going to read a passage out of Scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. So on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. You know, and I don't think that was some simple matter and some small thing. I just want us to envision being there for a minute, if you could, with me. I want us to go there in our minds, if we could. So if I get emotional, because I love Jesus so much. Knowing what was going to happen to his body, his flesh was going to be beaten, was going to be scourged, which that's not a word that we use because we don't have such practices in our society these days because it's so inhumane. Taking what's called a cat of nine tails, which is a whip that has fragments of bone and metal strapped to it. And he was whipped with this cat of nine tails 39 times, because they say if you whip a man 40 times with this, he'll actually die. So 39 times is the point of almost death. This was, of course, after a crown of thorns was placed on his head and he was mocked. spit upon, ridiculed. Knowing that this was going to take place starting the very next morning. Even from the night, actually, as that night, even that last meal was the last meal, and then he was going to go to the garden and pray, and that's where his accuser was going to come and turn him in, betray him. He took a loaf of bread, and he broke it. And he broke it because he, and then he shared, and he said this very thing. He said, "This is my body, which will be broken for you." Yes, we take this piece of bread and it's symbolic of his body, but he was knowing that this was going to be his very body that was going to be broken for us. Just go there for a second. Jesus' brokenness puts me back together. It's in Jesus' broken body that I have purpose and life. And it's only in Jesus that I can find a place of wholeness. I can bring my brokenness to him. Because if you haven't realized, we're all broken. We're all a little banged up, bruised up, chipped up. Some of us are even shattered in pieces. So we need to know that Jesus' broken body is what brings healing to me completely. So that's why he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And he thanked God. He thanked God. I think he thanked God because he knew what was going to take place, and he thanked God for the strength that God was going to empower him with and give him to go through with it. He thanked God for the opportunity to be able to save the world. He thanked God for his broken body that was going to happen. He thanked God for the bread that meant more than just nourishment for his body. And he said, "Break it, take it, and eat it in remembrance of me." So now we could take and eat this. Paul goes on and said, "So in the same way," in other words, in the same manner that he was communicating with his disciples, "he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement that is confirmed with my blood.'" Because see, Jesus was letting us know, letting us in on a, it's not going to say it's a secret, but it's a God code. The God code is that life is in the blood. And Jesus' life was resting in his very blood, and his blood was pure, sinless. And he was going to, his blood was going to be spread out, shed. Because he was going to be, again, I said he was going to be opened up. His back was so opened up, you could barely tell it was a back. It wasn't even a man. And see, it's in his blood that he was giving his life so that we can have life. It's in his blood that we find ourselves actually forgiven for all of our sins. And it's in his blood that we have life. And that's why he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So take it and drink it.
Then he said, for every time that you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes again. Jesus is the great I am. Jesus is. Jesus was. And Jesus will forever be the great I am. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful. Even as just so much that's going on in my heart and mind this very morning, this very moment. Reflecting on you, our Christ, our Lord, our King, our Emmanuel, our Savior. The great I am. You long to be with us. So we simply do something. We simply open up our heart and give you the room for you to come in. Come in completely and fully. Fill the emptiness, fill the void, fill the place that is hurting and dying, aching. Fill the place that's struggling. Fill that place that is even captive by the enemy and set it free. We thank you, Jesus, that you have come. Yes, we really do have nothing else to bring but a heart that says hallelujah, a heart that sings a song and lifts up our hands and praises you. In Jesus' name be glorified, in us and through us.